The subject today is organ donation, which is not a particularly pleasant topic, particularly at lunchtime. Thinking about organ donation forces us to think about our own death, and it forces us to think about having pieces of our body cut out after we're dead. But if that's not unpleasant enough for you, think of what it would be like if you needed an organ transplant. You will probably die before you get one, and you will probably suffer for a few months or a few years while your bad organ continues to deteriorate. Even more unpleasant, think about your daughter or your sister or your mother needing an organ transplant and you being forced to watch her suffer and die. And to make it worse, think of how bad you would feel knowing that while all this was going on, while she was suffering, Americans were literally throwing away thousands of organs that could have saved her life. So as unpleasant as it is to think about this subject, please consider your alternatives carefully. When you die, you can agree to donate your organs. You can bury them, or you can cremate them. Those are your only choices. If you choose to donate your organs when you die, you might save the lives of several people. If you choose not to, several people might die. One of those people might be the daughter of someone sitting right next to you. If you are not a registered organ donor, I hope you will sign up. And you can join LifeShares, and I will sign you up as a registered organ donor today. Please disregard the language in here that says we'd like a dollar if you sign this. We're running a one-day-only special. If you are already a registered organ donor, I hope you will also join LifeShares. If you do, you'll get a better chance of getting an organ if you ever need one later in life. I'll talk more about LifeShares later. Sadly, many, many Americans choose not to donate their organs when they die. Only about 30% of Americans are registered organ donors. And fully half of all transplantable organs from eligible deceased donors are thrown away. Only half are donated. The others are cremated or buried. That's 20,000 organs every year. Now, each one of those organs could have saved someone's life. But instead, we have an organ shortage in America that kills thousands a year and gets bigger every day. The national statistics show the extent of the problem. There are currently over 89,000 people on the national organ transplant waiting list. Over 43,000 of those joined just last year. That's just about half of the people on the list joined within the last 12 months. Last year, about 6,500 people left the waiting list because they died waiting. And another 1,500 people left the waiting list because while they were waiting, they became so sick that transplant surgery would have killed them. So that's 8,000 people dying every year due to the shortage. The situation here in Michigan mirrors the national picture. There are 2,800 people in Michigan on the national transplant waiting list. 1,430 of them joined last year. Last year, 187 people in Michigan died on the transplant waiting list, and 55 more were removed from the list because they became too sick to undergo transplant surgery. Here's the grim bottom line. More than 50% of the people who need a transplant in the United States will die before they get one. The organ shortage is so bad that it has led to widespread use of organs from live donors. Last year, 7,000 Americans had a kidney, part of a liver, or part of one of their lungs cut out of their bodies to donate to a family member, a neighbor, or even a total stranger. I marvel at the generosity of these people, but I can't help but think that very few, if any, of these people would have to go under the knife if we weren't throwing away so many organs from dead people. The organ shortage is not just a tragedy, it is an unnecessary tragedy. How did we arrive at this point? How did this senseless tragedy reach such proportions? Pure and simple, it's the result of bad public policy. In 1984, the National Organ Transplant Act became law. It made it illegal to buy or sell organs in the United States. The Michigan Public Health Code also makes it illegal. So do the laws of the other 49 states. Economically, this is the same thing as if there were price controls on human organs and the maximum price was set at zero. The only organs available are donated organs. Imagine if the federal government and all 50 states made it illegal to buy and sell food so that the only food available was donated food. Raise your hand if you think that all of your lunch boxes would be full today if you couldn't buy and sell food. Raise your hand if you don't think there would have massive food shortages in the United States. Public policy created the organ shortage by making donated organs the only available source. But even in a world that relies totally on donated organs, the shortage is bigger than it has to be. Why? Again, public policy is the culprit. Public policy undermines organ donation, and public policy discourages organ donation. How does public policy undermine organ donation? Well, when you register as an organ donor, you are making an anatomical gift that is effective upon your death. Most states, including Michigan, have what are called first-person consent laws. What first-person consent means is that consent for an anatomical gift can only be revoked by the person who made that gift. In other words, you are the only person who can revoke your anatomical gift. After you're dead, no one can revoke that gift, not even members of your family. And transplant personnel are not required to ask your family's permission to recover your organs if you've made a legally valid anatomical gift. But no state enforces first-person consent laws. Transplant personnel always seek family consent, even when they're not legally required to do so. And they always follow the family's wishes, even if the family's wish is to overcome and revoke a legally valid anatomical gift. Failure to enforce first-person consent laws increases the number of wasted organs, and it increases the number of people who die waiting for transplants. How does public policy discourage organ donation? Well, organ allocation policy is the culprit here. Most organs in the United States are allocated by an organization called United Network for Organ Sharing, or UNOS. UNOS is a private organization that operates the national organ allocation system under a contract with the federal government. UNOS also maintains the national transplant waiting list. UNOS allocates organs based on several factors. I don't want to get too technical here, but generally speaking, UNOS will give you an organ if you need one. If one becomes available, you'll get it. If you are a real good match for it, if you are real sick, if you've been on the waiting list a long time, and you happen to live close to the donor. One factor that UNOS does not take into account is whether or not you are a registered organ donor. You can get an organ transplant in the United States without agreeing to donate your own organs when you die. You can even register in writing your refusal to donate your organs and still remain eligible to get a transplant. This discourages organ donation. Let's face it, if you had to be a donor in order to be eligible for a transplant, just about everybody in the country would sign up, and we would save lots of lives. Imagine that UNOS made the following announcement tomorrow. Beginning January 1st, because there's such a big organ shortage, we're no longer going to make available any organ to anybody who's not a registered organ donor. The only exceptions would be if we have extra organs because we don't want to throw them away. Millions of people would sign up, and millions of people would register their children. I'm sure all of you would. The potential for saving lives with this approach is really significant because in a very real sense, the organ shortage is not an organ shortage, it's an organ donor shortage. Again, only about half of all transplantable organs are donated and the rest are thrown away. For example, last year in Michigan, there were 277 deceased organ donors, but 287 families denied consent to take organs from a deceased relative. Now, there are about three organs are recovered from each deceased donor, so those 287 families threw away over 800 transplantable organs. Countrywide, last year, 20,000 people received transplants from deceased donors, but another 20,000 organs from deceased donors were buried or cremated. If we allocated organs first to registered organ donors, fewer organs would be wasted and more lives would be saved. So, public policy caused the organ shortage, and it makes it worse than it has to be by undermining organ donation and by discouraging organ donation. What are the prospects for a public policy solution to this problem? Well, the shortage could be eliminated very quickly if the ban on buying and selling organs was removed. But that's just not going to happen. There's fierce opposition to this idea. Opponents of commerce and organs paint pictures of poor people across America being forced to sell livers to rich people in order to put food on the table for their families. This whole subject is much too controversial for most legislators. Incremental steps toward that solution could put big dents in the organ shortage. For example, you could keep the ban on live organ sales and only allow payment for organs from deceased donors. This would eliminate any concerns about exploiting poor people, because once you're dead, you're no longer rich or poor, you're just dead. I stole that from Lloyd Cohn, who is a professor of law at George Mason University. You could keep the ban on private organ purchases and let only the federal government buy organs and have the federal government put all those organs into the UNOS allocation system. This would eliminate the possibility that most of the organs would go to rich people. But even these incremental steps face very significant opposition. The American Medical Association, the American Society of Transplant Surgeons, and UNOS have all suggested running some pilot programs on a limited basis just to test to see if financial incentives to increase organ donation would actually work. But even the idea of testing the idea is getting nowhere in Congress. The organ shortage could also be reduced by enforcing first-person consent laws. There's very little appetite for doing this. No one wants to deal with the grieving family who is unsuccessful in trying to stop their organs, the organs from one of their relatives from being donated. But nobody has to deal with the people who died because that family overturned that anatomical gift. Changing organ allocation policy would also reduce the organ shortage, and here the prospects are a bit brighter. No legislative action is needed to change organ allocation policy so that registered organ donors are the first to receive organs. As I've mentioned, national organ allocation policy is set by UNOS. UNOS has the power already to modify its allocation rules. It has done so in many cases in the past, and it can do so again, but so far it has not chosen to do so in this case. But interestingly, UNOS does not have a monopoly on allocation policy. Your organs don't belong to UNOS. They belong to you. You can decide who gets them. The law says you can do that. Federal law says that. Michigan law says that. So do the laws of every other state. So if you want to give your organs to other registered organ donors, you can do that. And the easiest way to do that is by joining LifeShares. LifeShares is a 501c3 nonprofit network of organ donors. Every member agrees to donate their organs when they die. Furthermore, they agree to donate their organs first to other members. The mission of LifeShares is to increase the number of organ donors and save thousands of lives a year. And we're doing that by giving people a good reason to donate their organs. Anybody can join. It's free. Parents can enroll their children. As a LifeShares member, you get preferred access to the organs of every other member. So what we're offering is a very good trade. You give up your organs when you're dead and you can't use them anymore. In exchange, you get a chance to move up the waiting list if you ever need an organ. That could literally save your life. LifeShares helps increase the total supply of organs by creating a pool of organs that are available first to registered organ donors. The existence of this pool creates an incentive for other people to sign up. And this incentive gets larger every single time we get a new member. For example, if you decide today to join LifeShares, you'll have preferred access to the organs of about 3,260 people. Every time somebody else joins LifeShares, your chance of getting an organ goes up. Conversely, every time someone joins LifeShares, your chance of getting an organ goes down if you're not a member. Consider what it will be like when we have 1 million members. It will be crazy not to join. LifeShares is still relatively small, and we have not yet had a transplant from one member to another member because none of our members has yet died and become an organ donor. But we're all going to die sometime, so we know it's going to happen sooner or later. Eventually, we're going to have a big impact on the organ shortage, and we're going to save thousands of lives a year. We are also making organ allocation fairer as we solve this problem. Without organ donors, there are no organ transplants. But in the United States, about 70% of all the organs transplanted go to people who have not agreed to donate their own organs when they die. That is just not right. If you are a registered organ donor, and there is a non-donor across town who needs the same organ that you do, UNOS will give it to that person if he is a little bit sicker than you, or if he has been on the waiting list a little bit longer. People who aren't willing to share their own organs when they die, when the only other thing they can do is bury them or cremate them, don't belong at the front of the transplant waiting list. They should go to the back. I hope that public policymakers will soon make reducing the organ shortage a priority. After all, it is public policy that created the shortage. But I would be very surprised if that happened. But we don't need public policy change to fix this problem. Interestingly enough, we don't even need money. This problem, when it's solved, actually saves money. It costs more in healthcare costs to keep someone who needs a transplant alive than it does to pay for the transplant operation. So as we increase the number of transplants, we actually lower national healthcare costs. So we don't need public policy change. We don't need money. We don't need medical breakthroughs or scientific advancements. All we need is behavior change. All we got to do is stop throwing away organs that could save other people's lives. As we speak here, Americans are dying waiting for transplants at the rate of one every hour. I hope you will do what you can to help save their lives. And joining LifeShares is a real good place to start. You will help reduce the organ shortage. You will make organ allocation fairer. And you will increase your own chance of getting an organ. Thank you.